This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, I'm Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. Leaded aviation fuel, the 100 low lead nearly all U.S. general aviation pilots are used to burning, has drawn pointed scrutiny from environmental groups. In recent years, that scrutiny has turned to legal challenges, but as yet, the aviation community in the U.S. still runs the fuel. Now, Lycoming may be promoting an alternative, but that alternative may not be a suitable 100 low lead replacement or for use in 100 low lead applications. We're speaking today with Lycoming's Mike Kraft to find out more. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Glenn. How are you doing?
So, Mike, tell us your position over there at Lycoming and a little bit more about what you're doing with UL91.
Well, first, I'm Senior Vice President and General Manager of Lycoming Engines. And just to clarify a statement off the front, we want to make it very clear that UL91, aviation gasoline, is in by no means a substitute for 100 low lead. It does fit within the overall equation of aviation gasoline solutions, but we're not advocating it as a replacement for 100 low lead, and we still continue to fully back a solution that will be able to be utilized by the broad majority of the fleet, which is designed around the 100 low lead infrastructure. What we've done on the UL91 is enable the fuel that's currently in production and distribution in the European countries right now, largely for the lighter aircraft, which can utilize a lower octane fuel, and the engines of which are more suited to be running on unleaded type gasolines.
So specifically, where do you see the target markets for the fuel? Who's going to be using it? Where are they going to be using it? And for what applications?
Well, you can kind of arrive at that from the original sponsors of the UL91 fuel specification. This is actually an issued ASTM production fuel specification. It was originally sponsored by the U.S.'s Department of Defense, Defense Energy Support Center, specifically for military operations and, most significantly, unmanned aerial vehicles that were operating in Afghanistan and Iraq and other countries. Those aircraft were designed to run on autogas because of the variability that you had there. They had worldwide an autogas. It wasn't always suitable for what they were trying to do. Likewise, the utilization of 100LL on those engines resulted in lead deposit buildup. So what happened in the 2009 timeframe under the U.S. DoD sponsorship was this ASTM specification for UL91 was issued. As a kind of a side effect, and this is one of the first positive influences that you see from the unmanned vehicle side technology spinning over into the civil aircraft side, is that specification was then picked up by some of the European producers and placed into distribution in those markets as an unleaded, a low-octane, unleaded-grade aviation gasoline. Now, I need to make certain people understand what we're talking about in terms of UL91 versus 100LL. Aviation gasolines are rated in motor octane number. So UL91 is a 91 motor octane number grade aviation gasoline. 100 low lead is a 100 motor octane number aviation grade gasoline. People need to watch. Automotive gasolines are rated in the AKI system. So if you were to convert this fuel, UL91, to its automotive gasoline equivalent, you'd be talking about a 94 to 95 octane AKI grade automotive gasoline. That's a really super premium type autogas, no matter what market that you're talking about. So a little bit of what we're doing here is built off of what the original intent was by the sponsor of this fuel specification. It just so happens to be quite a well-conditioned solution for aviation engines that were designed for autogas type grade fuels, meaning 93, 91 AKI type fuels. So what's happening now is you're seeing natural market production and distribution forces gravitate towards a well-conditioned aviation solution for some of the lower-powered engines that power our aircraft today.
So does that mean that there is some market out there somewhere that will be using UL91 in the place of 100 low lead in small light aircraft?
Actually, it's in Europe, it's most likely taken the place of both autogas and some of the 100 low lead in the light sport aircraft segment and the lighter aircraft segment. You have to remember, Europe is a different situation. It's a different characteristic fleet. You're much more likely to find autogas and avgas at an airport, or autogas, avgas, and jet fuel at an airport. And in some cases, you have far more autogas infrastructure than you might have anything else for light, you know, for small airfields. So it really is addressing, you know, kind of the need for a lower grade fuel, which is being satisfied by today by either autogas or 100LL. It's not a substitute for 100LL, but it's probably a more well-conditioned substitute for autogas, mainly because autogas is, you're dealing with seasonal variations, you're dealing with regulatory requirements for inclusion of ethanol. There's a whole bunch of things that make autogas rather challenging on a long-term basis for aviation. This specification basically gives you a very nice grade unleaded gasoline for the aircraft and engines that can utilize it.
So what are the series that you're seeking approval for?
If you look at any of the engines that Lycoming like has already approved on 8087, the old leaded grade, and also up to the 93 AKI autogas, it's going to be affecting that population of engines. So it ranges the 233, the 235, the 320, the 360, and eventually the 540 engines. If your engine is approved on UL91 in EASA, EASA has already issued their SIB 2011-01R1, okay, which allows on an engine approval for UL91 operation of the aircraft on UL91. People need to realize is that although in today's production aircraft, a lot of what you see is just 100LL, not all engines need 100LL fuel. Okay, many of them can operate on lower grades. So if your engine falls in the category that it's approved for utilization of UL91, in Europe, the EASA has already set up the infrastructure to allow its use on the aircraft without an additional aircraft certification.
In a very basic sense, if an engine were to operate side-by-side 100 low-lead and the UL91, would there be any noticeable performance differences?
There would be no performance differences whatsoever, because that extra 9 motor octane that you have with 100LL is basically wasted octane on engines that don't need it. It's kind of like if you pull up the pump on your automobile and your automobile was designed for 87 regular, putting premium in doesn't really increase the performance of your engine at all. The same thing happens on aircraft. Now, you can't put UL91 into an aircraft engine, an aircraft that was designed specifically around 100LL. That gets us back to the item is that UL91 is not a replacement for engines and aircraft that truly need the 100 motor octane number rating.
But those that don't, it is an option.
It is an absolute option, and it's an interchangeable option, and there will be no performance effect.
Now, I understand that a Swedish company, Helmco Oil, has been producing a 91 avgas for some time. Are there key differences between the UL91 and that product?
Yes, there are. Actually, Helmco Oil, or Helmco Oil Company in Sweden, was the first unleaded aviation gasoline that Lycoming approved back in 1995. It's been in production for, you know, decades, well understood and well utilized. The difference between Helmco's proprietary product and what we're talking about here in terms of UL91 is that the UL91 is an ASTM production specification fuel. It is truly a commodity grade that any producer could bring forward to the market. Helmco's product that they've been moving out for quite a long time now, and with great success in the marketplace, there was no ASTM spec at the time that it was produced. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how Helmco moves their fuel to the market. But there are differences between the fuels. The UL91 specification, once again, it's an ASTM third-party spec. It's a commodity grade. The Helmco formulation is also an aviation-specified fuel. It is a proprietary grade. You will find it on Lycoming approval sheets, but it's not distributed as a commodity fuel.
With all the pressure coming in the U.S. against leaded aviation fuel, do you see this UL-91 taking some place in the U.S. market as a leaded fuel substitute for those engines that that do become approved for it?
We have a really fantastic 100LL infrastructure in the U.S. We got about 15,000 airports in the U.S. All of them have 100LL. If you look at how many have autogas, the number drops down to about 400 or less. So does UL-91 have a place for 100LL replacement in the U.S.? Most likely not, but, you know, the market producers will have the final say in that if they want to bring that to market and distribute it. You just have fantastic infrastructure for 100LL, and it can service every type of piston aircraft.
So where are we on the timeline? What where are we now, and what's happening next? When can we expect to see approval and engines running on this stuff?
Well, what you have right now is that the ASTM specification was approved in 2009. So there's no issues there in terms of specification approval and qualification of the fuel. Total today is producing and distributing it, as well as other ones. Helmco has a fuel that could comply with that. So in Europe, you already have this fuel at airports being used on basically Rotax aircraft engine-powered aircraft, which already list UL-91. Our UL-91 approval will be issuing in the next few weeks. It certainly is not going to be in the measured in the month's time frame. When that issues out under EASA, the EASA SIB will automatically approve those aircraft which have our engines approved on UL-91, and that'll stitch together. So UL-91 is happening today already in Europe. Will it happen in the U.S.? That's really something, once again, that production and distribution would determine. Personally, it's also a fantastic, great fuel that the marine industry would like to use, because they deal with some of the same type of issues that we deal with in aviation in terms of, you know, boats generally don't like ethanol sitting in their systems because of the environments there too. So I think it's time will tell in the U.S. whether this is a viable product in the U.S. It is already today a product in production and distribution in Europe. UL-91 is basically 100 low lead without the lead in it. So in terms of, you know, could a producer in the U.S. today make it? The answer is absolutely yes. Just don't add the tetraethyl lead. Is it a solution in the U.S. broadly? No, it's not. It's a unique solution for markets where the demographics of the aircraft allow it to be a viable commercial solution.
We've been speaking with Vice President of Lycoming Engines, Mike Kraft. I'm Glenn Pugh for avweb.com. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.